What about a little wager for tonight? What did Noodles, what did he bet to, he took a hunch off us?
What was that again? That was on how many handshakes would be.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe the guy on the line will want to join in. If you predict the score and the game-winning goal, it's 150 in the pot per man.
All right. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Chris Johnston. Are you feeling lucky tonight, CJ, or what?
I'm terrible at predictions. I'm so bad at this stuff.
Just do Bob McKenzie stuff. Say I'm not doing it. I don't do predictions.
I don't have Bob's clout, so I get stuck doing them, and I just expose myself for what a pigeon I am.
Right. This one in particular is tough. Like the exact score and who scores the game winner, that's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, that's tough.
Okay, the values, 200, I'll go first. 4-2 Calgary, Elias Lindholm.
He's got a full rack of giblets. I think he gets on the board tonight. I'll say 5-3 Calgary. Milan Lucic scores the winner.
Noodles, you're last to go.
Man, oh man, I have a tough time. I think Calgary responds tonight, yeah, but I think it's the score. I always struggle with that, but I think it is. I'll go 6-4, wow. Empty netter. Yeah, like I think I'm
who's
taking
got
the over.
Winner? Who's got the winner?
The winner is Michael Backlund.
Okay.
CJ, your last chance to jump in, pal. You could make 600.
Well, mark me down for 4-0 Edmonton with Zach Hyman in the game winner.
Wow!
See, that's bold. I like that.
That's bold.
We opened that up for you, though, right? You hedge. We're all on Calgary, them winning big. What does it say about the way we feel about the game, CJ, that we all think there's going to be a million goals in the game tonight, but it would be consistent, I guess.
Well, it's been a weird series, right? Yeah. Whenever you start with a 9-6 game, I mean, I thought that would be a total one-off, but I mean, there's been still scoring in the other games. This is a funny playoffs. I've enjoyed, you know, seeing the Stars put up the numbers they have and all that stuff. The McDavid storyline's been great, but you know, it just feels like goals are raining from the sky. And the one thing about the Oilers, like I'm not a goalie guy, but with Mike Smith having most of the year off and the way he finished the regular season, he had a real heater at the end of the year. I think he had a .930 save percentage against the Kings. I don't know. Just feels like he's kind of riding something right now. So I think the Oilers are going to get through this round.
CJ, what did you think of the Quizmaster's piece saying Connor McDavid is the greatest athlete that's ever walked the face of the earth?
not precise, but around there.
Well, I kind of agree with the logic that I think he's just saying that whoever's the best player of the moment is probably better than the players that came before them, and you know, I don't want to advocate his position because, you know, I'm not sure I would have written it exactly as he did, but I think you can make the case. I mean, certainly, I don't think we've seen anyone do what he does at the speed he does it. And in today's game, I mean, 23 points, is it, in 10 games? I mean, it's actually getting silly. Like, this isn't game 1-10 of the season or preseason or whatever. I mean, this is the playoffs. I mean, we've seen Sidney Crosby win a Conn Smythe, I think he had 19 or 20 points one of those years. And Connor has done that, and they're midway through the second round. I mean, I think that there's the argument to be had there, but you know, a lot of when we think of the greatest ever is how long can you play for, how long do you do it? I mean, that's part of Ovechkin's greatness, right? Is he's just been such a dynamic goal scorer for so long. We don't know that piece yet for McDavid. We can't know it. But I think that there's an argument there. I don't think it's a crazy thing he's put forward.
No, we had a spirited debate with him in the 5 o'clock hour, and it was good. I think he makes valid points, but you know, Hayes, you need to see it, and guys like Crosby have proven it, so that's the difference. But CJ, I don't know if you saw this online this afternoon, but it was making the rounds on, you know, potentially Calgary targeting Dreisaitl's ankle, especially on that one shift. I don't know if you saw three different guys took a whack at it. I mean, this is something, and I think it goes to the bigger thought process of disclosing injuries. You know, I know we're heading in the era of gambling and you know, people are looking for more information, but honest
that's
to God,
whack-a-mole,
like,
man. They're that's absolutely like, intentional.
Brian, I talked to your coach and you were a tough player in junior. You would have done the same thing.
Of course I would. I'm not saying I understand that people don't like it, but you're down. The game was over. It was 4-0 too. They're like, we'll send this guy a message that we know you're hurt.
Whack-a-mole.
That's what they did.
It was. But I mean, that's the difference. If you know a guy has a bad hand or a bad ankle, like, it's a whack on the laces. It's
the
a
most
chop
gruesome thing to hear, Noodles, on the bench is when a guy's glove came off, and you, like, my first year, I heard it a couple times. It was like, chop his hand. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, prison rules. Well, what can the league really do here, though, Chris? Like, everyone knows he's got an injury, and guys hack and whack all the time. So what can you do?
I think you can only do so much. I mean, if someone goes like Bobby Clark from the 72 Summit Series on his ankle, okay, that's different. There's a suspension there just with how vicious the chop is. But if it's kind of within the parameters of the game, yeah, you might get a slashing penalty, but I don't think there's all that much you can do. I feel like this has been around forever, though. And whether or not a coach comes out and says, okay, it's an ankle injury for player X, you know, I think the players generally know. I mean, anyone who saw the nature of how Draisaitl got injured would have, within at least a reasonable expectancy, could guess where about he got injured. And so, you know, I that's the one thing I've always found sort of funny about the upper body, lower body is I've just found the players can always tell. You talk to a player who like sees a check go kind of funny, and they'll be like, "Yeah, that's a sprained MCL or whatever." Like guys, a lot of guys really kind of know what's going on, and so I don't think there's that many secrets, no matter what's said, kind of when the coach is at the microphone. And you know, of course, if you have that edge on an opponent, if you feel like that could affect maybe his willingness to get in the battle, or maybe even injure him further, I mean, it's not popular to say, but of course you're going to do that. I mean, this is the playoffs. It's the second round. There's a lot at stake here, and the league can watch it. But as long as it's relatively within the parameters of the game, I mean, I don't think there's all that much they can do.
Right. With Chris Johnston. So we've been talking about predictions, and you made your stance clear on those. But are you starting to predict Tampa back in a cup final? I mean, they made it look somewhat easy against Florida.
I think it's reasonable to say that. Yeah, I think they're the class of the East. And look, I am expecting Carolina to get through against the Rangers. We'll see how that goes. It's only 2-1. But, you know, Carolina's been there before. But, you know, Tampa beat them last year in the playoffs. And there's just something about the way the Lightning play. I mean, the fact that they just went and swept the Panthers without Braden Point, you know, coming off a tough series of the Leafs. I just think that they have a right mentality, that they have a lot of guys that have contributed offense for them. You know, you saw Kucherov, in my mind, come alive in the second round after being a little sleepy in the series against Toronto. I know he got some power play production, but I didn't think he was that dangerous 5-on-5. And obviously Vasilevskiy had a monster round two after, you know, getting a lot of pucks put past him in the round one. So it's hard to pick against Tampa for me in the East. And you know, we'll see who they play in the cup final if it goes that way. I'm not saying they're going to roll to a third straight cup, but man, it's right there in front of them. And I give those guys credit that they've played so many games. And the give-a-crap meter still seems pretty high with their group. And I think that could be sometimes the toughest thing. I mean, at some point you expect human nature to kick in. It's hard to play through these games. It's hard to win. But they still seem to have a drive. And you know, man, they're looking pretty good with the way they got through the Panthers in the last round.
CJ, there's been some big storylines. McDavid, Tampa Bay doing it again. The success they're having. Vasilevskiy, the whole nine. One storyline that hasn't gotten a lot of traction is Freddie Anderson. Like, what do you hear about that guy? Because apparently it was an injury, he was going to be back for the playoffs, and then it's like nowhere to be found. Like, what do we know about Freddie Anderson?
Well, it feels like shades of last year. I mean, for those of us that have been on the Leafs, where, you know, he had that knee injury that went on and on and on forever. You saw it a little bit if you watched the behind the scenes series that HBO did. It's almost like the coaches didn't even know what to make of it, based on sort of the footage that was included there. You know, really no one knew what was wrong. And it feels like the same thing. I mean, he got injured the last week of the regular season. The Hurricanes did an MRI on his knee, and I don't think it revealed anything too serious structurally damage-wise, but, you know, here
so
we are.
What the hell does he think he's doing? Does he think people don't know what the hell's going on? That's basically what I wanted to ask you.
Well, I mean, if he's not comfortable to go in, do you want to put in a goalie who says he's not comfortable? I think that's probably at the heart of the matter here, but now he's back at practice. I think he's backing up tonight. I would think he's going to play games for them. It would seem the way things are trending, but yeah, it's been mysterious. And it's, again, the problem, I would think, if you're Carolina or anybody else, you just don't know what does it mean? I mean, he's been so long out, and he had the same thing exactly a year ago in Toronto where, yeah, sort of a 2-week injury became a 6 or 7 week injury. And, you know, it's eerily familiar, but now the decision, if you're on the Hurricanes end of things, of course, is you're throwing him into the second round or maybe even the third round if they advance past the Rangers. And there's
that's not the Hurricanes' fault. That's Freddie's fault.
Sure. But if you're them, are you nervous about it? I mean, probably the best hockey you played this year was with him as your goaltender.
No kidding. They have no choice, Chris. They have to put him in. If they're going to beat Shesterkin and the Rangers, they need Freddie Anderson to go in net. And I just don't know what it says about a guy if it's like he's not serious injury on the MRI. He's not comfortable going in. What the hell does that mean when your team's trying to win a Stanley Cup? Not comfortable? That's nonsense. Not from your end, from his, obviously.
Right. Well, that's what it appears to be is what happened here. And you know, it's a strange situation. You could tell there's some frustration organizationally. You know, Rod Brind'Amour stopped taking questions at a certain point from the reporters day to day about him. They said, basically, once he's in practice again, you can ask me about him. But if you don't see him, don't ask about him. And now he's been spotted again. And so he's going to be a player, I would think, for them before the end of the season, one way or another.
Well, we'll see what happens with Freddie. They're looking to go up 3-1 tonight in New York, and then the Battle of Alberta, the fourth game tonight as well. We look forward to those and more. Thank you for this, CJ. We'll do it again soon.
No problem. Not even one question about the Panthers' off-ice decisions between Game 3 and 4. You guys are very professional.
We wouldn't put you in that spot. Wow, we wouldn't possibly do that. We didn't even ask you about Mark Giordano. That's where we are with the Leafs. You know, I'm assuming you like the deal. It makes sense for the Leafs anyway, but what kind of ripple effect could this have for the rest of the players sticking around on the back end?
Well, it makes you wonder about Jake Muzzin, I think is the biggest question, right? I mean, you've got the left side pretty solidified. It's not to say Jake Muzzin's time in Toronto is done by any means, but I think it does at least give the Leafs the option to think about that if removing his cap hit plus what he does makes sense. So, you know, I think it does give the Leafs some flexibility. And, I mean, from the organization standpoint, they should all be kissing the ring or thanking Mark Giordano, which it seemed like Kyle Dubas did over the weekend, because that's the biggest hometown discount I can remember. You know, a guy who had 35 points last year, not as a forward, as a defenseman. I know his age and all the things that come with it, but $800,000 just above the league minimum is a complete bargain for even for what he brings at this stage. And now it gives the management a bit more money to try to make the team better around him.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we'll see. There's going to be more heavy lifting, I would think, into the future. Thank you, CJ. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Talk next week.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider.